is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
The human heart is a fragile thing, and I think every human being alive can relate to, at some point, if you live long enough, shattered dreams. Something I'd set my heart on, something I had hoped for, something I had thought would become a reality, and it didn't. Or worse yet, I had it, but I lost it. We're going to talk about it today as it relates to marriage. You're listening to Thrive, and this is Pastor Brad Digney. And once again, I've got my wife, Vicki, joining us to hear from her perspective some of the pain and some of the disorientation that we begin to feel in marriage that's good and God gave it to us, but whew, it has this huge potential for shattered dreams. And as you're standing there with the pieces on the ground, instead of this movie-like dream happening, it can be quite disheartening. So thank you for joining me, Vicki, because I know, seriously, things are better now, but it was quite painful. It's hard to go back and even talk through some of it, but I'd like you to, if you can, from the woman's perspective as a wife, what about this? How did the marriage dream begin to unravel?
I mean, how much time do we have? Yeah. I could talk a long time on this. And I think because Brad and I are both type A people, I thought I was type A until I married him. He's really type A. But I think we had met with, to some degree, a level of success, both of us, in our individual lives before we got married. As far as, you know, you were president of the National Beta Society in high school. I was a secretary. I mean, we kind of had tracked along the same
As individuals living in different parts of the country, we had both been affirmed and experienced a level of people looking to us and saying, wow, that's a successful person. There's someone it's worth saying, wow, I think they're doing well.
Right. So I think for me, this important thing, marriage, that I had actually really looked forward to, this was one of the first things that was really just totally shattered and so disappointing to me, thinking, wow. And I think part of it was my expectations going into it, because we had, quote, gone to conferences, we had been through the cassette tapes, we had been through...
Well, we hadn't gone to conferences.
Right.
You had gone to some conferences.
Absolutely.
Growing up.
Right,
going
up.
In a good church.
Right. But I just thought, you know, how hard can this be? So I never had heard people talk about marriage is difficult or marriage is hard.
So is that one of the, when you think, so what was the surprising unmet expectation? Would you say one of the things was, it's not easy?
Right.
I just thought it would be easier than this.
And I don't think I purposely said, oh, this is going to be so easy. I can just quickly have a great marriage. But I just assumed it would be.
Well, and sometimes it's not what's said, it's what goes unsaid.
True.
If your path leading up to us agreeing to marry each other was like mine, I grew up in a good church too. They never said marriage was easy, but they also never said it's hard and it takes work.
Right.
They just talked about marry a Christian, marry a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you conclude, that's all I need to do is marry a Christian. I even remember at the church where I was serving as the youth and music guy, and there we are in a marriage that is so hard and so bad. We're just struggling in our mobile home during the week. And then one testimony service on a Sunday night, one of the elders, he's a dear man.
He is.
And I'm sure he meant well. I don't know what his motivation was, but you know, to me, he was older, but he was probably 45.
Right.
But he'd probably been married 20 years or more when he did this. He stood.
And had a good marriage.
Yeah. And he stood at the microphone and he looked around the room and he said, marriage isn't hard. Marriage is not hard. I don't know what led him to do that. I don't know if he had been involved recently in someone complaining about marriage, but that wasn't helpful, because Vicki and I were sitting there thinking, we don't even know what to do.
What's wrong with us?
We are so stuck. And therefore, we said, oh, it's just us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't even admit. And so my heart goes out to you. I do think if you're listening and you have a difficult marriage, I would encourage you, find a church that teaches the Bible, but also works hard to create a context of honesty and vulnerability, and it's okay to have problems.
Right.
You want to be a part of a church that will talk about the problems instead of pretend they're not there. That you don't want a church where people put on their go to Sunday church face.
Right.
Not helpful.
But I have to admit, I just was at a 70th birthday party this past Saturday, and I was sitting at the table with a couple that I dearly love. And I asked them, how long have you been married? And they said, we've been married 25 years. And wow, it's just been a sweet 25 years. So, I mean, I think there are couples.
But
I think it's rare.
Would you be willing to say that is the exception?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I teach a class to women. Like, I usually have 12 women a year because marriage was so
young,
shattering
to me.
Yes.
Yes.
And because marriage was so difficult and hard for me, I'm like, I want to help these women go through some things so that they don't experience the same loneliness.
Right.
And usually out of 12 or 13 women, there might be one or two.
Yeah.
I remember one time some girl spoke up and just said, I mean, my marriage is great. My husband likes to cook. He likes to buy the groceries. He loves to clean. There's really not much for me to do. And I was like, well, girl,
probably everyone
I'm
was
happy
like,
for you.
Yeah,
but, you know, my I head bet. Exploded. I'm like, I can't relate to that. So I think this is more the norm, that there's certainly some struggles, perhaps not as serious as ours. But I think it's very common to man. And I think sometimes when you don't realize that, you do just think, wow, I've married the wrong person.
So one of the expectations that was problematic was I thought it would be easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things. I thought it would be easy. And secondly, I thought, wow, we are so much alike. I mean, because we kept saying that to each other. I mean, he came from a very similar home that I came to. His parents were very frugal and had a budget. My parents were very frugal. We spent money very similarly. So, you know, I remember he told me when he had to mow the yard, he had to wear cleats. And I'm like, I had to wear cleats too, and
goggles.
What are
the chances?
I mean,
my dad made me wear safety goggles
and
baseball cleats to mow, and so did hers. We're like, oh, we are a match made in heaven.
Right. So I think we just thought, wow, well, we're so much alike.
We've
I have
both
vetted
been taught
this guy.
Similarly on money.
Right.
And so there were things that can be a problem in a marriage, like money.
Right.
Or a problem in a marriage, like one's from a Christian home and one's from a totally non-Christian home. But I think what we didn't realize, and most people don't, despite your similarities, there will be shocking differences.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both coming in with expectations more than you realize that do not match, and dreams that are likely to get shattered. Talk some more about maybe what your shattered dream felt like, or some more expectations. Mm-hmm. What led to the conflict that we faced so quickly?
Right. So we got engaged in May, and we got married in September of that same year. So as soon as we graduated at the end of May, we got engaged. Brad started his job, and the church that we had been attending said, hey, we would love for you to be the worship and youth guy. So that was his job. So he had been there 3 months without me. We got married in September. So by the time I joined him in September, he had already hit the ground running. Being his type A self, he was, you know,
I was working 80 to 100 hours a week because I'm single.
Right. And they loved it because he was getting the job done.
Yeah.
And, you know, with youth, there's always something to do with youth.
Right.
Go play tennis, have a Bible study. So I think, I don't know that that got us off to a bad start, but I think it more quickly brought to the surface things that I was unhappy with, because I had thought, oh, wow, we're going to like get to know each other. We're going to spend time together.
You just thought we'd spend more time together.
Right.
And so right there was one of them.
T-I-M-E.
I had no understanding of what it meant to spend time with someone for the sole sake of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All my concept of spending time with someone had to do with getting something done together.
Right.
Which is much more typical of a man. Not exclusively, but that was hugely problematic, because she would say to me, well, we haven't seen each other. I just feel like we haven't seen each other. We'd be having another big, I'm like, what do you mean? We did all the grocery shopping for camp. We went and got marshmallows for the cookout. We were at the youth thing. In my mind, if we were together doing anything, and it was usually related to my job,
right?
We've seen each other.
Right.
And so I didn't even have a category for what she was talking about.
Right. So that was baffling to me.
And what were you talking about? What did you think we were going to do?
I just assumed, I'm a person. He wants to get to know me. Like, he wants to find out who I am and what I like and what I don't like and how are you doing? Like, has this adjustment been
moving
here?
Conversation.
Sitting,
looking each other,
what are you scared about? Like, what's been concerning you? You know, there was none of that. I mean, I kind of feel like Brad, I just feel like I was like hanging on his coattails. Like, he's a Japanese bullet train going 200 miles an hour. And I think it was also shocking because he had so pursued me and sought after me and wanted to date me. And so I thought, oh, this is just continuing. But I think instead it was like, hey, get on my Japanese bullet train and go with me at 200 miles an hour. Yeah. And I was unhappy about that.
And we both, don't we still see this often with other couples? How I don't think men mean to be deceitful. I certainly do not recall intentional deceit. But when a man decides a woman is it, he can give lots of attention and pursuit in a way that causes her to think, wow, he really wants to spend time with me. And I think one of the biggest shattered dream things for a woman often is how that just comes to an end.
Right.
Because I didn't write it down and I never said it out loud. But once we got married,
right,
as I had someone help me with my heart, I realized, oh, I've checked that box.
Right.
Now I have a wife, we're married, I'm moving on. And she felt that I had moved on and she had been, in a sense, abandoned.
Right.
We're talking about shattered dreams and unmet expectations. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we'll unpack it a little more. What is this that we're talking about that impacts us so much in a marriage with dreams and our expectations of what it'll be like?
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife, Vicki, right here on Thrive in just a moment. And as I've been listening to them talk so honestly about shattered dreams and unmet expectations, it got me to thinking about resources available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And one that just kept coming to mind is Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling by Bob Kelman and Stephen Byers. And you might think, how did that come to mind? But listen, it's not necessarily just a marriage book. It's about how God's unchanging truth meets us in our most painful moments of disillusionment and helping us rebuild something even stronger than our original dreams. You can find Bob Kelman and Stephen Byers' Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling right now. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And what we're doing here at Fortis Institute is we're building something stronger. We brought together 8 dynamic voices right alongside of Todd because we believe biblical truth is more crucial in our upside-down world now more than ever. And you can find all of the content that all of these new voices are creating absolutely free at fortisplus.org. Just log on, create an account, and right in your pocket, you've got access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content completely free and delivered daily. Every single weekday, we deliver 7 new pieces of content, from news features to commentaries from our fellows director, Jason, to hot takes from all of our fellows, podcast episodes, just like this one from Thrive. Check it out right now at fortisplus.org. And if you want even more, become a Fortis Insider. It's also free. And when you do that, you get an email 5 days a week that give you all of the content that's being delivered that day. But also part of becoming a Fortis Insider is having inside firsthand knowledge of all of the sales that happen in the Fortis Institute store. You find out about our webinars that happen several times a year before anyone else, special filmings that happen. You find out about that, get invitations to those before anyone else. So it pays to be a Fortis Insider. You can sign up absolutely free of charge at fortisinstitute.org. We live in an upside down world, if you haven't noticed. It's not what it was 5, 10, 20 years ago. Certainly not. And we need gospel partners to continue creating the content that we're able to create. We need gospel partners who share our vision for equipping believers with God's unchanging truth. Pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what it would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicki's story. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm Pastor Brad Bigney with my wonderful wife, Vicki. But we're talking about how it hasn't always been so wonderful. especially initially, with what we each thought it would be like and what we each hoped and expected that didn't happen. Unmet expectations and shattered dreams. So, Vicky, what else would you say was at play in our marriage as you begin to feel disoriented and thinking, this is not anything like what I thought it was going to be. What in the world do I do with this? What was it that was so disorienting to you? You'd always been a very confident, we've already talked about that, self-assured person. How did this rattle you and cause you to question things? What was going on?
Oh, it caused me to question everything because I think, you know, sometimes when you cry, your husband, women will say, oh, when I cry, it just melts my husband's heart. I think it made Brad mad. He didn't like me crying. I think he was just frustrated thinking, what is your problem? I don't even know how to help you. I'm going back to work. So I would resort to crying in the shower where he couldn't hear me. But I was truly baffled. Like, what in the world has happened? Like, we're not even a year into our marriage and we're both so at odds. And I think part of it was just, once again, at the time I didn't realize it. And I don't think you did either. But we were both two very prideful people.
Oh.
So, I mean, I do the icebreakers for our small group. And one time I said, what was your favorite piece of clothing when you were in, like, you know, elementary school? And I said, I had a yellow shirt with a big, what was it you call it? Like a big, like a little.
Oh, like an award medal.
An award medal. Ribbon. Yes, ribbon.
Picture of ribbon, a ribbon,
yeah,
or a medal.
On your shirt. And it said, I'm number one. Why try harder? And I mean, we just found this out like 3 weeks ago. And Brad's like, I had the same
shirt.
We
laughed the other day because my sister-in-law, I have a twin brother. And my sister-in-law who married my twin brother, she knows me from high school. We worked together at McDonald's. And she's the one that brought that up within the last month or so. Oh, Brad, do you remember that t-shirt you had? So here's a young woman who marries a young man, and they both had in their arsenal of clothing a t-shirt. I owned a t-shirt too.
I'm number one.
I'm number one.
Why try harder?
So neither one of us lacked for confidence coming into this marriage. But I think you more than I, not because you're lesser in any way or less gifted, I think what we experienced initially, I was frustrated, but I think it's more disorienting for you.
Right.
Because I just threw myself into my work and said, there's where I'll still find what I've always found and can be who I've always been. But as far as relating to my wife at home, I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
In what ways do you feel like it was harder for you as a wife?
I think, like you said, you would throw yourself, you know, into your job. I did have a part-time job that I absolutely loved. I worked at a pediatrician's office. So that was good. But at the same time, I would come home at the end of the day and I'm thinking, I have a husband that, I think like you said, I had been a pretty confident, outgoing person, but I almost felt like, how do I explain to him I'm having to beg my husband to spend time with me?
And that's what it felt like.
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. I mean, I just felt like,
which feels so demeaning.
Yes, exactly.
If I have to beg you to spend time with me.
And it had never been that way.
Yeah.
No, with anyone I'd dated. Like, I never had to beg someone to spend time with me. So I think that was very baffling to me. Like,
though I want to insert, I suspect you could have married any number of those other guys and might have experienced the same thing.
Possibly, yes.
The Mr. Engineer with the Thunderbird could have shifted to his job as well.
Right. So I think that was hard for me. And then I think we came in, I was thinking when Brad gets more like me, this marriage will be better. And then he was thinking when she starts becoming more like me, this marriage will be better. So basically it was like, we were not a team at all. It was like we were in a boxing match. I'm on one side, he's on another side. We would come to the middle, kind of discuss, fight, argue, go back, retreat to the side. So I was trying to change him and thinking, when you become more like me and spend time with people and love people well.
Starting with you.
Right. Yeah, please. Like, I mean, I don't know how to explain that. I just thought, why does he not even want to spend time with me anymore? Like, what is wrong with me? So it was very baffling to me.
And it is sin. And I'm glad God showed me my heart. But I just want you to hear, I was unaware of what it even looks like to just spend time with someone for no reason other than spending time with them because you're in a relationship. I know that might just sound mind-blowing to some of you out there, but that is how I had been shaped up to that point. My whole world was about getting things done.
Right. I just remember.
I did not know. Well, I remember as after God began to work in my heart, I went and bought a book called When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. I realized I've got to learn how to be in relationship and be unhurried with no purpose, no goal that we're achieving together. That was so foreign to me.
And I think, too, you know, whether your parents are saved or unsaved or your one parent that you have or whoever, parents know their children. And so tell the story about your mom. Brad would come home
goodness.
When he was in college
it's
as
so
a
funny.
Single. Yeah, she knew him well.
I assume those
she tried
of you
to
listening,
help me out.
Buckle up. This is going to happen to you more and more. I can't tell you how many times Vicky and I will say to each other, oh, the longer I live, the more I understand. You know, her
it's
mom's
so
name
true.
Was Grace and her dad's name. The more I understand Grace, the more I understand why. There are things your parents were doing and some things they said that you thought in the moment, that makes no sense. In fact, they're crazy. So here's one of them. I'll never forget. Here I am. I'm a high achiever. I work multiple jobs. I work hard. I'm good with my money. I could go on and on and on. And so I'm still living at my parents' house. I'm single. And I remember one summer, and I'm working myself to death, construction. You know, I got to be at the trucks at 7. I was working for an in-ground construction pool, swimming pools. And we would work till it was dark, which was like 9:30. And then I would come home. My mom had me some food. I would wolf it down, shower. I mean, I think sometimes I took the food to my room. And no
Probably.
Conversation, no engagement with people. And then I would be at my desk with my little fluorescent lamp flickering because I love to read. And I would just try to get a little bit of a half hour of reading some. And it was always a godly book, something about world missions or something about prayer or something about.
So godly.
And I'll never forget one night. My mom knocks on my bedroom door and I'm sitting there with my shirt off because it's hot. And I've got a godly book on the desk in front of me. And I look up and she's standing in the doorway and she says, Bradley, she's the only one that calls me that. She says, Bradley, I want you to know that when you get married one day, you can't do this.
Thank you, Carolyn, for helping me.
Yeah.
She tried.
She was prophetic.
Mama tried.
No. I literally was confused. I just thought, can't do what? But I didn't ask for any explanation because I just thought, that's so crazy. I don't even need to know what she's talking about. Now, I know what she's talking about. It's that I had no time for people. It was what I'm going to do next. Even if it's good things, it's what I'm going to do next.
Right. I remember when we first got married and went on our first vacation, that was one of our biggest fights.
Same way. I was accustomed to, quote, you know, my sense of getting things done is to read good books. So you never just sit. And our very first vacation as a married couple, I had grown up doing this, taking bags of books. And I took, some of you are going to laugh, or some of you are just going to say, what? I took 15 books. We were going to be there 1 week.
Wow.
I had a duffel bag of 15 books. And so first day on the beach, you know, I've just gotten my chair settled. I've just gotten sunscreen on and I've just cracked open the cover of my first book. I feel like I'd read 15, 20 minutes when Vicky said, hey, want to go for a walk? I looked at her like, no. And a few minutes later, want to go look for shells? And I was like, good grief, no, look for shells. And then a few minutes later, want to get in the water? And she just kept. And now. We had the biggest fight because I'd grown up, I read books for hours until I'm so hot. I just get in the ocean to cool down, to go back and, you guess, read books some
right.
more.
And I grew up, we would walk the beach and look for shells and go crabbing and be together as a family. So that was, once again, disorienting to
just,
me.
And notice, none of this is a huge, heinous sin.
Right.
We're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about hitting each other. We're
right.
not talking about profanity. But you can have a horrible marriage based on expectations you each arrive with and just what you've grown up, how you've been shaped, and your own hardwiring. And every strength has an Achilles heel. So God wired me for achievement to get stuff done. Achilles heel, without God's spirit, helping you or
run
other
over
people around you.
Yeah.
Yes, you can run over people. I don't think that's what I did the most. You can ignore people. I don't need people. I don't have time for someone unless you're a part of what I'm getting done. We're talking about shattered dreams and unmet expectations that inevitably show up in marriage. For your marriage to go from barely alive to beginning to thrive, you're going to have to know what to do when that marriage dream balloon is popped and when some of those expectations lie shattered on the ground. Oh, there's still hope. There's still help. And God does not just want to shatter you. He does allow us to be shattered to rebuild us in a new way where we each become more like Christ.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.